Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. Sharon Baptist Church is a loving church that preaches the Word of God. We would love to have you come visit us in person. You can get directions on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com.
I'm going to preach a message for us that kind of will explain what's going on with the church today, but it'll also give us some help for our Christian lives. If you'll turn with me, please, in the book of Galatians, look at chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 and preach a message about weariness in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and preach about weariness in well-doing. Again, look, the writer's Paul. He's writing to brethren, Christians in the church at Galatia. And in Galatians 6, 1, he says, "Brethren, let it be known very clearly at the beginning," he's speaking to Christians. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us, here's our context verse, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, Paul saw the woes that were going on in the church in Galatia, and all the churches in Asia Minor of the first century. And many of the same woes that were going on then are kind of going on today, like I was sharing this morning, all kind of problems and situations and trials and tests and all kind of turmoil, all kind of things. Transfer that from here to today and relate this to the modern day church today. Our church, any other New Testament church, relate what he's saying here. Has a modern day church lost our possibility of progressing for the Lord anymore? Now, we all look at the church and we recognize that there's something wrong in the church, something woefully wrong with the church. Look at our church. Look at any church. The Sunday morning attendance is halved on Sunday night at least. That group is halved again on Wednesday night. Have we just grown weary in serving God? Tired of serving God anymore? What's going wrong? What's the problem? Fellowship sometimes is disrupted within the local churches. Has the church lost our outreach for God anymore? What's the problem? Why does churches not grow anymore? Why are church members not faithful anymore? Are they just tired of serving God? Are we tired as a church of doing what Christ left us here to do? It's something we need to think about seriously, don't we? Does Christ not mean anything to the church people anymore? What about priorities? Is Jesus the next thing on your priority list? If he's not priority number one, we're in trouble. And we're in trouble as a church and church members today. Paul saw the problem, and Paul wrote these words that I read. Look especially again at verse number 9. And he says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Why would he write this to the church of Galatia in the first century if they hadn't grown weary already? There'd been no need to write this to the churches if they hadn't already grown weary and tired and fainting and giving up and just stopping. So he wrote to help them. Listen, we're very similar today in a situation that they were in here. For different reasons, the persecution they had were life and death, physical matters. Ours is not that, but we are under persecution. They were afflicted day by day. We're afflicted all kinds of ways. And still yet the church today is growing weary and weary. I can recall many years ago, let me just go back to, let's say 30 years ago. I've been pastoring 40 some years, 45 years to be exact. Go back just 30 years. Most pastors would stand and say the churches were doing well. Church members came, churches grew, my home church grew, and every other church was growing. But from 30 years back to until today, do you realize, listen to me, this is serious, over 300 Southern Baptist churches are closing their doors every year. That's staggering. What's happened to the church? Why have people grown so weary in serving God? It's a very critical matter to our church and every other New Testament church. Paul knew why, and Paul wrote to these Galatians. I hope we'll hear what he had to say. He said a couple things I want to share with us tonight. The first thing he shows us here, what causes, the causes of people getting weary serving God. He looked at that in verse 1 and 2 and verse 5 and 6. Let's look at it. What's happened? What's the causes? What causes folks to be weary? Well, let's look and see. The first thing I see that causes people to get weary serving God is overtaken brethren. Look at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, overtaken brethren. Now, he's not talking to a lost person. He's not talking about a brother losing his salvation or anything like that. He's talking about a Christian brother who's been overtaken in a fault. What does it mean when he says that a brother's been overtaken in a fault? It means he's been caught by surprise. It means he's been taken over by sin. It means he's been taken unawares, overtaken before he really knows what's happening. Do you know anybody like that? I'm sure we all do. It could be us, and we don't even sometimes realize it. Overtaken, he says, in a fault. Look at that word, fault. The word fault there is a blunder. It's a false step. It's a failure to achieve what it is. One fully intending to do what was right, but he's slipped off into sin. Why is that? He hasn't depended on the Spirit of God fully, as he should have, so thereby he's caused him to get weary because he's been overtaken in a fault. Now listen, he hasn't fallen from grace, as I said earlier. He hasn't lost his salvation. He's just been overtaken. So that's the first cause of people getting weary in serving God, is overtaken brethren. But another cause he cites here is overloaded burdens. Look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Overtaken brethren, overloaded burdens. You know, you're responsible, I'm responsible, all of us are responsible for our own lives before the Lord. There's burdens that you have to bear yourself that nobody else can bear. There's burdens to bear, there's burdens to share. But overburdened brethren, overloaded burdened brethren, causes people to get weary. Why does this happen? Why do people sometimes, let me give an example. Why people come into the church, and sometimes it's older church members, they just pile job after job after job after responsibility on certain individuals, and they end up getting so weary they can't keep up with all the things that's going on in the church because it's their responsibility. Listen, we're supposed to share the burdens of the operating of the church with one another and not overload certain Christians with all kinds of responsibilities. That was a common thing going on here, no doubt, in verse 2. He says, bear ye one another's burdens. If they were bearing one another's burdens, he wouldn't have to have written this, would he? So that was going on, no doubt. Paul saw it. Have you ever felt like the whole load of the church is on your shoulders? Now, I know pastors do, but now I'm not talking just about pastors. Well, why are brethren overloaded? Why? Do they not care anymore? Everybody else wants somebody else to do whatever it is that we need to have done. Oh, you preacher, get somebody. Oh, by the way, we're about to elect officers too, by the way, for the new year. And we want to be sure we understand that we share around some of the burdens of the church. So when the committee comes and asks you about something, don't say, oh, no, I can't do that. Let somebody else do that. You better stop and pray about it. You better seek the Holy Ghost about it before you say no, because you might be overtaken and you might be overloaded. So be careful there. Some folks that will, can't find anything else to do. I guess I'll do it. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. So Christ would have us to share equally the burdens of one another. What about these overloaded burdens? Look at some things here. First of all, there's some burdens I said that you have to bear alone. Look at verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. We are responsible to God for my life. You're responsible to God for your life and how you live your life. When we see our own failures and our own sins and our own mistakes and our own blunders, we won't be quite so quick in pointing out the sins and the blunders and the failures of somebody else. Consider yourself, Paul said in these verses. We have certain responsibilities. We have to consider we who maybe have fallen into a fault at some point in our life and need somebody to help us, raise us up, help us get out of that blunder we were in. But there are certain burdens you have to carry by yourselves. But in the same light, we should be willing and ready to share the burdens of our brethren. So there's burdens we share alone, then there's burdens we must not share, then there are burdens we have to share with other people. Help the brother, he said here. When a brother is overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, he says, restore such an one. Help that brother. Help that sister. Whoever it is, they need our help. Well, if we don't, we don't understand the law of Christ. Jesus came and he bore the burden of sin for the whole wide world. Nobody could do that but Jesus. Now, we can't bear Jesus' burden. Only Jesus could bear that. But we can bear the sympathy of our Lord Jesus to those who maybe are overtaken or those who may be already overloaded, who have burdens that they need to have somebody to come and help share those burdens. What is it when a brother is overtaken in a fault? What's that mean? He's fallen into something in his life that keeps him from being what Christ has called him to be or from doing what Christ has called him to do. We're to step in if we can and help him to bear that burden so he can be and can do whatever it is that God's called him to do. Are we not burden bearers? Are we not called to be burden bearers? We are. Verse 5 tells us we are. Listen to it again. For every man shall bear his own burden. We got to bear our burdens. We've got to help others bear and share their burdens as well. So those are just some causes. Overtaken brethren, overloaded burdens. But there's another cause that causes people to get weary. It's overlooked blessings. Do you think we'd overlook a blessing in the church? Sure we could. Look at verse number 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Do you think overlooked blessings could cause us to be weary in serving God? Sure they could. Paul mentions two things here in these verses. First of all, the overlooked blessing. First of all, he speaks to preachers. And then he speaks to the people. He speaks in this verse here. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word, that's the preacher, he's got to teach the word. The preacher sometimes overlooks the blessing of sowing the word of God in the lives of God's people. I believe that I at least feel like I try to be faithful in sowing the Word of God in your hearts, in your lives. So if he overlooks the blessing of sowing the very Word of God, he's going to miss the blessing of reaping what it is that the Word of God's going to do through God's people. God's Word will not come back void. It may not come back in your lifetime or even in my lifetime, but it will not come back void. It will do what God sends it forth to do. To preachers, I'll preach to myself a little bit, all right? We're not going to be rewarded in heaven for what a preacher intended to do. I'm not going to be rewarded in heaven for the seeds that I really intended on sowing but never got sown. I'm not going to be rewarded in heaven for things that I should have done that I didn't do. You see, it's what we do. He says, what you sow is what you're going to reap. So preachers miss the blessing of sowing the Word of God. I trust you listen sometimes to other preachers. I hope that you do. Maybe you see some TV preachers. Pay close attention when you hear them or when you view them. See what they're saying. See what they're doing. Are they really, literally taking the Word of God and sowing that seed in the lives of those who hear? If they're not, then they're missing a blessing. That's going to cause them one day to be weary in well-doing. Why do you suppose so many pastors are just leaving the ministry today? Just throwing up both hands and quitting. So weary. Maybe because they're missing the blessing of sowing the blessed Word of God in somebody else's life. But then he turns his heart and life to the people's responsibility. Not just preachers. He says, Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You're not free. Let me be sure you understand this. You're not free of the word of God that's sown in your heart. We can't ignore the word of God and disobey what God teaches us without consequence. You can't just come into church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, have the Word of God sown in your heart, and walk away like it never happened, didn't make a difference in your life. You're going to be held responsible one day for every message you hear preached, just like I'm going to be responsible for every message that I preach. Does church members overlook the blessing of the blessed Word of God that's sown in their heart? We receive, Paul says, the teaching of the Word. What a great teacher Paul was. What a great man of God he was. Everywhere he went, he taught the Word of God. He sowed the Word of God everywhere that he went. And he speaks to the Galatian Christians, and he speaks to us. He says, let those who are taught in the Word. Now, I know that some congregations aren't taught very much. I understand that. I know some congregations don't hear the Word of God. They hear everything but the Word of God. They hear all the gossip and not much gospel. I understand that. They build sometimes churches on other things besides the Word of God. But the Bible teaches us, God said, it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who are lost. But people sometimes act like, well, everything else is important, but not the Word of God. They come in and sit down for lengthy singings, all kind of social events, and the preacher goes 1 minute over 12, they're all upset. Preacher preached too long today. You can't preach too long. I realize I'm not a long-winded preacher. I can say that. About 25, 30 minutes is about all I preach normally anyway. But you can't preach to people too long. What if you like in the days of Ezra? The man of God stood on a pulpit. He preached the Word of God for 3 hours. 3 hours. If I preach 30 minutes, that's long. He preached 3 hours, and they confessed their sins for another 3 hours. That was a six-hour service. Oh, my. Didn't sound like to me they were too weary, wanting to go home, get away from the Word of God, do what I want to do. The Word of God interferes with what I want to do with my life. It does interfere. Because it's supposed to be priority. So the people have responsibility of what you hear, just as much as I have responsibility to teach you the right things. So those are some causes that people get weary. But I want you to see something else. There are some consequences also of getting weary in serving God. Look at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Look at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look at verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Then verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Beloved, listen to me carefully. I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody. You can't become weary serving God and get away with it. Preachers probably might be the top list of getting weary. We preach sometimes, people don't respond. We teach sometimes, people don't come to church. Look at our church. I mean, the truth's the truth. Facts are facts. You got to let the facts fall where they will. Amen? It seems like it doesn't really matter to a lot of folks. What if everybody took the churches just like maybe they did? Attended like they did? Gave like they did? Did for the Lord what they did? Would there be a church? I'm talking to the core of our church here tonight. And to those who may be viewing, maybe you're part of the core of your church. You can't become weary serving God and get away with it. There are consequences that are going to take place. And Paul pointed them out here. Let me show you a couple of them he pointed out. The first consequence of being weary is a person has deceived themselves. He said that in verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. A conceited Christian is a deceived Christian. Doesn't matter if it's preacher or people, doesn't matter. When we ever stop to think we're better than some other one of our brethren, that we're up here somewhere spiritually and he's down here somewhere spiritually, we've deceived ourselves and we have failed to understand the law of Christ. We can't ever look on the erring brother and think ourselves be better than him. Or he's less spiritual, maybe, than we are. Well, that brother needs restoring, not ridicule. Amen? He does. He really does. All that I am, all that you are, Paul said all that he was, all I am by the grace of God, and that alone. You take the grace of God out of my life, you take the Spirit of God out of my life, and you've got a zero. That's all you got left. Zero. Nothing. He says, when somebody acts like, well, it's got to be my way or the highway. It's got to suit me the way I want this thing done or we're going to have trouble. Well, we just have trouble, don't we? People have self-deception. Paul summed it up very carefully about consequences. He says a person is self-deceived. Then he says, second thing happens, they're sowing in the flesh. Verse 7 again, verse 8. There is no allowance, listen to me carefully, there's no allowance whatsoever in the New Testament church for sowing in the flesh. Look at verse 7 and 8. Just look at it. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, he says in verse number 8, you're going to reap of the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit life everlasting. So when a person is deceived, a cause of weariness is that he's sowing in the flesh. The one who sows in the flesh has been deceived, and he's not fulfilling the law of Christ. So he's sowing to the flesh, and what he's going to sow, he's going to reap. It's strange, isn't it? As we look at this example this morning, a farmer plants wheat. What does he expect to harvest wheat? If you plant an apple tree, you don't get pineapples, you get apples. But isn't it strange how people think they sow to the flesh, sow seeds of self-deception, sowing in the flesh, and expect to reap hallelujah blessings out of it? It just doesn't work that way. Sowing and reaping has a definite plan of God in it. What you sow one seed. What you reap is more than that. Same thing's true spiritually. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap the flesh, but we're going to reap a lot more than what we sow. So that's just the way it is spiritually. Well, sowing to the flesh is another consequence of being weary serving God. And then he mentions a third thing. It splits fellowships. People getting weary serving God, just throwing up both hands and quitting or accusing somebody of something else. Look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Well, why are fellowships in churches so disrupted? People have become weary. They've sown in the flesh. They've deceived themselves. And it splits a fellowship of the local church. Well, that local brethren who's been overtaken in a fault, whoever he or she may be, we're to go to them in great spirit of meekness, not weakness, in the spirit of meekness, and try to restore them. Now, Paul mentions the third thing. He talks about the causes of weariness. He talks about the consequences of weariness, but I thank God he moved on to talk about how to cure that weariness in well-doing in the church. Thank God there's some cures. Thank God we don't have to live like he's talked about. All these things don't have to happen to us. There are some cures if we're willing to accept them. The first cure is this. It's in the ministry of the church. Do you know the ministry of the church is in restoration? If you don't believe it, just read the Word of God. Go back and read verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what's that word? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So the ministry of the church is one of restoration. Here's a good example. Let me give the example Paul uses here. This word of restoration, it's a medical term, by the way. It's as if you, for instance, say you broke your arm. You know how it would maybe hurt. I haven't broken my arm, but if you've ever broken a bone, you know how it hurts when you have that bone broken. And you don't get any relief till that bone or that joint or whatever is restored the way it ought to be, so it's working in fellowship with the body as it's supposed to work. That's the same kind of thing he's talking about here in restoring those who are out of fellowship. They've broken fellowship. They've become weary and just stopped serving God. It's our responsibility to get that person and restore them as best we can back into the fellowship of the church so that the body of Christ can work like it's supposed to. When its members are out of joint, broken, whatever you want to use, the church can't function the way God called us to. So the ministry of the church is one of restoration. It's like a dislocated joint. There's no restoration, no rest until it's back in place. So one of the cures is to the church. It's a ministry of church. It's a reconciliation. But notice something else. As part of the church, there's also a method by which we should go to that one to get them restored. He said, ye which are spiritual. You see that? Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, you know, sometimes that kind of narrows down the possibility, doesn't it?
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. Sharon Baptist Church is located at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord, North Carolina. We'd love to have you come join us for services. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service on Sundays is at 6 p.m. Or you can join us midweek on Wednesdays at 7. For directions or to listen to more sermons available for free download to all of your devices, visit us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com.